Colossians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Today we continue our journey into becoming the connecting church, connecting with God and connecting with one another. And we're going to do this, we're going to continue our journey by studying the book of Colossians, by studying the Apostle Paul's letter to this group of holy and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in a little place called Colossae. But we got to understand, as we're opening up the Word and as we're reading what God is saying to this church in Colossae 2,000 years ago, that these words aren't just for that group, but they're for us too. For these words were actually penned by the Holy Spirit, given to us by God to build us up, to lead us, to guide us into truth and into fullness and wholeness in being His church. You know, I've actually been to the remains of Colossae. Here's a picture. It's in modern-day Turkey. While I was there, it was simply this unexcavated mound. This is the city right here. Unexcavated mound, they call it a tell. Doesn't look like much. But next to the city, there was something fascinating. Check this out. There was this stream of cool water that was flowing down from the mountains just behind the city of Colossae. And I believe that this cool water was used as an illustration by the Apostle John in Revelation as he's writing to the seven churches, specifically the church in Laodicea. And he's saying to them, you're lukewarm. He's giving them a hard time for that because they're neither hot nor cold, referring what I believe to the hot waters in Hierapolis and the cool waters in Colossae. So he said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. This was amazing to go there and to put my hands in that water and feel that cool water. I feel like this cool water, this refreshing water, is a really good picture of the church in this community of Colossae, a community that was enjoying the refreshing of the Lord. This refreshing that I believe God's Word is going to show us was found in the reality that they were connecting with God and they were connecting with one another. After all, Paul's letter to this local church reveals a church that was truly embracing life with God and life with one another. And when they were missing the mark, Paul brings correction and direction. How many of you appreciate that about God? When we're missing the mark, He brings correction and He gets us right on the right track again with the proper direction. So let's dive into the book of Colossians. Are you ready to go? It's going to be rich. This is going to be good. We're going to become this connecting church. We're going to go to a whole nother level of connecting with God and connecting with one another. So we continue in Colossians 1, verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, the faith and the love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ Jesus on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So Paul begins this letter to this church by commending them for their faith in God and their love for one another. This is a church that had faith in God and love for one another, enough that the great apostle Paul would commend them for that, would lift them up for that. In other words, this church was excelling in their calling to be connecting with God, faith in God. They were excelling at connecting with one another, having love for one another. This church in Colossae was indeed a connecting church. And the Lord's calling us to be like this, connecting with God in these ways. Why is it important? Why is connecting so important? We're going to hear this word a lot over the next couple months. Connecting. Let's jump to the first point of today's message. Connecting with God strengthens our faith. Let me say that again. Connecting with God strengthens our faith. Verse 3 again. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Why? Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. Again, I love how Paul opens up this letter thanking God for this church. Just venture off here just for a little bit. I think it's a good lesson for us. When we're going to communicate with people, that maybe we should start off that communication with positive things, with commending, with thanking, with encouraging the person, whether it's an email or a text or wow, you actually call them on the phone or talk to them in person. I know that's kind of foreign these days. Doesn't happen very often because we're a bunch of chickens, you know what I mean? We got to, let's talk to each other, right, face to face. But when we communicate with one another, maybe even write a letter, maybe old-fashioned, you know, get your pen out, write a letter. If you've ever gotten a letter from me, you can see that I don't do a lot of handwriting. It's a little chicken scratch, you know what I'm saying? But God still loves me, and he's still working on me, and I still mean all the words that I say, if you can read them in the letters I write you. But when we communicate with one another, let's start off by building each other up. So Paul highlights something positive here to this church in Colossae. This church had a strong and growing faith in Jesus. Why? Because they were connecting with him. They were connecting with Christ, therefore their faith in Christ was growing. And faith is imperative. It's so important. Faith, you gotta have faith. And so Velvet and I named our daughter Faith so that we would always have faith because faith is so important. And half of you got that joke and the other half are thinking, what is wrong with this guy's theology? I think he's missing it a little bit here. Faith is important. It's imperative. Look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 6. The writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Wow. Without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now let's look at what the writer of Hebrews just said here about faith. He said that when we earnestly seek God, let's look at this. When we earnestly seek God and connect with him, let me add that in because we're talking about connecting, and that's what we mean by connecting with God, earnestly seeking him, pursuing him, going after him, not just bumping into him every once in a while, but being intentional, when we really seek, earnestly seek God, the writer of Hebrews says, we are rewarded. We're rewarded with what? We're rewarded with stronger faith. And this pleases God. So look how that goes again. What do? We earnestly seek God. He rewards us because he says, when you seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. So we earnestly seek him. Again, it's important, and I'm going to tell you what, if it's important, it's on your calendar. Let me just be straight about it, all right? If it's important, it's on your calendar. If your walk with Christ is important, you can look at your calendar, and you will see his name on your calendar. I didn't plan on saying that this morning, but I believe that's from the Lord. That's a little bit of preaching, a little bit of bringing it, I guess, right? So look at your calendar maybe when you get home or if you have your iPhone. Don't do it right now. Listen to what God's saying the rest of this message here. But when we earnestly seek God, we are rewarded. What are we rewarded with? We're rewarded with stronger faith and our growing stronger faith that comes out of seeking Him and encountering Him pleases God. It pleases Him. But notice this faith springs forth from hope. Verse 5, Colossians 1. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. So look at this. Faith comes from hope. And it comes from the hope that we have in God's eternal plans. Look back at this. What did Paul say to the church in Colossae? He said, this faith springs from the hope that is stored up for you where? In heaven. And so our faith gets stronger, our faith gets more mature as we connect with the Jesus who is returning. The one who was, is, and is to come. Our faith grows when we have that kind of hope, the hope stored up in heaven. When we have our minds, our attention focused on the return of Jesus, again, the hope stored up for us in heaven. What is the hope stored up for us in heaven? Jesus. Jesus, He's our hope. Jesus is our hope, our great expectation, our deep desire. He is our hope. Where is Jesus right now? He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. But that's not where He will remain. He's coming back. There's a day He's coming back. So as our faith is growing because of the hope we have in the Jesus who is returning to us, our faith gets stronger and stronger. Why? Because we're focused on Christ and He's coming back. He's coming back. How often are you setting your attention, your thoughts, your studies, your prayers on the return of our Savior? Connect with Him. Connect with the Jesus who is coming back. Connect with Him, the soon and coming King. And when you do, it will build up your faith. But this first century church in Colossae, they were applauded for their faith that was strong and that was growing, but they were also applauded and commended for their love. So how did the love in this church grow to such a level that it would be Bible worthy? I mean, think about that. It's like love of biblical proportions. It's in the Bible. It's in Scripture for all time. How did it get so strong? Well, the answer brings us back to the connecting church. Point number two this morning. Connecting with one another strengthens love. And so we just heard connecting with God strengthens our faith. Connecting with one another strengthens love. Again, verse 3 and 4 of Colossians 1. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, when we pray for you. Why? Because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. So the Apostle Paul was very excited about this church because of their faith in Christ, but because they were also demonstrating real love for one another. Real love. Demonstrating real love in real ways. And their love was growing. And it says it was bearing much fruit. Remember, loving one another is the evidence that we've really encountered the love of Christ, our love for one another. Our love for one another is the evidence that the transformation is actually happening in our lives. We're going to turn to 1 John to be reminded of this. 1 John chapter 4, 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Love. Verses 11 and 12 of 1 John 4. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Love. Love for one another. Now, many of you are aware that I used to be a high school basketball coach, and I had some keys to winning games. I like to win games. If you've ever competed against me in anything, whether it's basketball, cornhole, cards, whatever it is, you know I'm a little competitive, and I like to win. And I'm always looking for what are the keys to winning. Here we are. Look, notice. Trophies. We're winning. We like to win, right? That's a good quality of a coach, to want to win. And so one of the keys, though, to winning was practice. Practice. And here's what practice looked like. I would get the whole team together in one place in the gym on the same court, and we would play basketball together. We'd actually run through basketball, do plays, fix problems that we encounter as we're playing basketball. And I think about this. I mean, that seems just so logical, right? If you want to win, you get together and you practice. Have you ever heard of a coach that just said, hey, I'm going to coach this team, but we're never going to practice? I just want you guys to show up at the game. It doesn't matter. You can go to Chipotle and have a big burrito beforehand. It doesn't matter. Just show up at the game, and we'll just see what happens. No, you don't hear about coaches doing that, because if you did, the name of the team would be the Losers. The Losers would be the name of that team. Because a key to winning is practicing. And the way you practice is you get together as a team and you work it out. You work it out. Likewise, loving one another is only possible when we're connecting with one another on a regular basis. Showing up, getting on the court of life together, doing some real life together. And this connecting with one another, showing up and practicing, being the body of Christ, it perfects our love for one another, because we're practicing love. We're growing in love. We're learning how to love together on the court of life. And when we do this, when we live this way, not neglecting practice, but getting together, we win. We win. We win. Today you can decide to show up to practice. You can decide to put it on your calendars in this next season and make practice an important part of your life. Because you can connect with a life group. In the lobby today, you can sign up. We got like 8-9 life groups that are just launching. And we're launching our life groups with a little bit different perspective this year. We're launching our life groups to connect with one another, to just be the body of Christ. Yeah, there's going to be study that happens, and there's going to be some groups that study this, other groups that study that, and there's going to be some learning and some all these other things that are going to happen. But you know what the primary thing, the most important thing that's going to happen when you're in that life group is connection. And your love is going to grow for one another. And look out, world, because a church that's united in that way, loving one another in that way, is going to change the world. It's going to change the world. So let's get on the court. Let's get practice together. Let's sign up for a life group. This brings me to the final point I want to highlight from this scripture. Point number 3, the connecting church embraces koinonia. Koinonia what? The connecting church embraces koinonia. Colossians 1, let's look at 7 and 8 here, verses 7 and 8. All this faith and this love that I'm commending you for, Paul is saying, he says that you learned it, you learned this lifestyle of faith and love from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. All right, I want to make an important statement, and that is this: you will only go so far alone. Let me say it again. You will only go so far alone. In fact, your faith and your love will be stunted. It will be limited It will never fully mature without being actively connected in the family of God. It just won't. We need others. We need our church family. I need you. You need me. The church in Colossae needed this guy named Epaphras, and we need each other. Read Romans 12. It all talks about the body connecting and all the parts that are needed. Read 1 Corinthians 12. The same message about all the parts coming together with different gifts and how they're needed and how it builds up the body and how we're really not the body if we're missing parts. And you know what? We're the parts right here. We're the parts. The New Testament church found in the Bible called this kind of connected lifestyle koinonia. That's that Greek term, koinonia. It occurs 20 times in the Bible. Koinonia is referring to fellowship. It refers to sharing in common. It refers to communion with one another. Unity in the Spirit in Christ Jesus together. Check this out. Here's an example of it. Philippians 2, 1 and 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and purpose. Koinonia. That's a picture of koinonia. Being in agreement with one another. Being in agreement with purpose. Serving alongside of one another. And our koinonia with each other is based on our common koinonia with Christ. Check this out. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. If we claim to have fellowship, or koinonia is the term there, if we claim to have koinonia, fellowship with Jesus, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. We have koinonia with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sins. At Evident Life Church, we've determined to avoid making koinonia a program. Because I don't see the koinonia of the Bible a program. Sign up for this class, sign up for these groups. That's why I'm saying we're moving into a new season with these life groups. Yeah, we're going to have some initial signups, but man, it's not just about signing up for a group and getting involved in something and checking off a box and saying I'm doing this. We see koinonia in the Bible as true, real fellowship with one another, real relationship, real care, doing real life with one another, not just showing up for a meeting, but showing up for one another. Coming to church, not just to come to church, but coming to church for one another. Fellowship, communion, unity, connection, the body of Christ. There's richness in that. There's some ways we can do that, and I don't want these to be programs. I want these to just be the way of life. Our groups, our life groups, just talked about that. Prayer. You know, in the place of prayer, hearts are knit together. They're knit together in Christ, knit together in the Spirit. Y'all have heard the saying that a husband and wife who pray together stay together. Well, a church body that prays together not only stays together, but advances the kingdom of God together, is powerful together. Prayer, serving alongside of one another. We just read about that. Where we show sacrificial love to one another. That's koinonia. That's part of koinonia. John Piper framed koinonia in this way. He says that koinonia is the fellowship. And this fellowship I have in mind is the mutual bond that Christians have with Christ that unites us in a profound and eternal relationship of love that should express itself in joyful and affectionate service for each other's good. Koinonia. But let me go back to Epaphras. What if Epaphras would have decided to stay home? What if he decided, you know what, I just want to check out for a season. just kind of want some alone time. I don't want to connect. What if he didn't connect with his church family? What if he didn't embrace koinonia? The whole church would have suffered. Their faith and their love would have suffered. It would have been limited. And this is what happens when you don't show up. I'm just being real. I mean, let's look at what real church is now, okay? Not just, you know, the stuff of just, you know, well, we go to a meeting, I did church, I went to church. No, let's look at real church right now, what it means to really be in fellowship, where the grace of God really is poured out in supernatural ways, where we don't go through the motions, but we look at what God really intended and we go for it. We don't be afraid of it, and we don't let the busyness of this world and the way this world is organized affect how we're going to do business with God and with one another. We're not going to do that. If you don't show up, we suffer. We miss out on what God has placed inside of you. Like, what do you mean? If I don't show up, I just kind of come and I get out of here as fast as I can, and I was here, and what did I bring to the room? We miss out if you're not here. We miss out if you're not in that small group with us. We miss out if you're not in the prayer meeting with us. And it doesn't mean that you have to go to every single small group and every single prayer meeting. It's not about putting pressure on people and creating this bar of attendance that's so high. It's not about that. It's about finding that place in the body of Christ where you show up, because we need what you have. We need that word that you have. We need that unique perspective that you have. We need that infectious smile. We need that word of encouragement. We even need that corny joke. Well, sometimes. We need the timely prayer that the Lord puts on your heart to pray. I just want to say, God isn't trying to guilt us into all of this. Sometimes we look at the Word of God like this and we think, man, that's a lot. And He's not trying to guilt us. He's trying to open up our eyes to what He really has for us, to the more, to the reality of walking and living in Christ Jesus. He's inviting us in to the greater things, to the more. Romans 12, 4 and 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same functions, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We need each other. I need you, you need me, we're a happy family. With a great big hug and a kiss from me to you, won't you say you love me too? I couldn't get that off of my mind this week. I couldn't get it off of my mind. I mean, I'm studying this, and I'm talking through what God's saying, and all of a sudden I start singing Barney. It's like this, you know, this big purple dinosaur is like infected me. I need some deliverance, is what I'm saying. Too much Barney with my kids growing up. Anyway. But I need you and you need me. That's true. That's true. Let me conclude with this. Colossians 1:8. And Epaphras told us of your love in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When we are gathered together in Christ, God's Word says the Holy Spirit is there. When we're gathered together in Christ, like they were on the day of Pentecost, they were gathered together in one place. They were on the court practicing, ready to go. And what happened? The Spirit of the living God showed up in that room, and boom! Nothing was the same from that moment on. And when the Holy Spirit is present, there is freedom. There's freedom to walk in love. And from a people gathered together, united in the Spirit, flows love. And our world needs that kind of love. It comes from us. It comes from unity in the Spirit. It comes from connecting. I want to conclude by praying this blessing over us, and I want all of us to stand up. Would you stand up? You can just posture yourself any way you want to before the Lord, but I want to declare this blessing that the Apostle Paul spoke over the church in Colossae. I want us to receive it, because this church family is really good at this already. This church family is a church where faith is strong and growing. This church family is a church where God's love is present and our love for one another is strong. But we're about to go to a whole nother level, and it's going to be good. So let's receive this blessing this morning. To the holy and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Evident Life Church, grace and peace to you from God our Father.